I recognized it because one of the focuses of my parents' research was lost magic. I remember my father lamenting the lack of information about runic magic.
Richter's face adopted a slightly confused expression. This doesn't seem complicated, though. That symbol, he pointed to the triangle, represents dark magic. I recognize it from an introductory lore book. The other one looks like it's there to contain the dark magic symbol. If I can discern that knowing almost nothing, how could rune magic be completely lost?
It is not completely lost, Lord Richter. It is known that royal builders know some of the minor runes for durability. That is why the walls of the royal palace have such impossibly high hit points. I also agree that the basic function of this particular rune is fairly easy to surmise, but that doesn't mean we could recreate it. All of those flourishes and marks are not for show, my lord. They are integral to the workings of the rune. I also have no idea what the outer ring of symbols mean. If there is one thing I remember from listening to my parents, it is that runic magic is exact. Everything you see here has a purpose, and changing any one facet would have a consequence. The material the runes are made or carved from, the size of the rune, even the depth of the etching in the floor would affect the final spell. For this specific rune, the exact curvature of the square around the triangle would be important, as would all of the flourishes that we can see. Many factors would alter the potency of the rune, and countless more would render it completely useless.
Richter nodded in understanding. If rune magic required that level of detail, he could see why it might be hard to learn how to use it. Is there anything else you can tell me about it?
I remember that every rune is powered by a soul stone. I can also tell you that the fact that this rune is made of two different types of material is beyond anything I ever heard my mother and father discuss.
If you studied it, could you figure out more? He asked excitedly. She looked uncertain.
My parents were the real scholars, my lord. I don't think I could understand it.
Her ardor waned a bit, but then she added,
Maybe if you found someone who understood basic spell theory, then we could learn.
You have unlocked a new field of study, basic spell theory. You have become aware of a new field of study, runic magic, but have not yet discovered the prerequisites for this branch of study. So an insanely powerful magic rune made with knowledge that was now lost to time. Richter was glad that he had been able to slay the dark aberration. Seeing what lengths had been taken to contain it, he would never have let it out, which meant he would have most likely been tortured and worse. Richter shuddered, remembering the tentacle that had wormed its way inside of his pant leg. Shaking himself loose from such horrible thoughts, he thanked the gnome guard for her help. He also asked her to speak with Randolphus later about the rat problem. She clapped her fist to her heart and told him that she would seek out the Chamberlain soon. Richter thanked her again and then stepped forward onto the rune. The glass tracery began to glow as if it recognized him. In the center was a glass circle like on the treasury door. He bent down and aligned the circle with his Master of the Mist Village mark. A prompt appeared. Welcome, Master of the Mist Village. You have accessed the Rune of Dark Holding. It serves to keep any beings of dark magic within the confines of the spell. Do you wish to deactivate the runic magic? Richter stepped back and dismissed the prompt. He didn't want to turn it off until he was absolutely sure that there wasn't anything else hiding in these caves. If there was another aberration hiding, he wouldn't risk letting it loose on his people. He looked at Tirad. Have you searched the rest of the caves?
Yes, my lord. This cavern seems to be the center of the cave system. There are no other open entrances that I could see. I did find two other interesting things. One is a cave in the back filled with various items, packs, and bones. I surmised that it must be the remains of whatever poor souls were killed by the monster you vanquished. The other thing was a small metal door set into one of the rock walls. It was made of steel with black swirls set into the metal. It had a clear disc like that one set into it.
He pointed at the activation disc in the center of the rune.
Titan steel,
Richter thought excitedly. The only other time he had seen it or even heard it mentioned before now was in his own treasury door. If the old masters of the Mist Village had used the powerful material as a door here too, there must be something valuable inside. Show me the door. he had Calder throw his mist light at the ceiling. It stayed where it struck the roof, providing easy light in at least that cavern. After that, everyone followed after Tarad. Only a short time later, they arrived in another cavern. Just as the captain had said, a door was set into the rock wall. It was only 3 feet tall and was set 3 feet off the ground, so it looked more like a safe than an exit. Nonetheless, Richter was almost trembling with anticipation when he raised his wrist to the clear circle. A voice spoke in his head.
"Do you wish the door to open, Master?"
He thought back. "Yes." A heavy thunk sounded, heralding the moving of a bar, and the door swung open. The inside was not overly large, only about 2 feet deep, but the entire vault was covered in Titan steel. Even if something had burrowed through the rock, it still wouldn't have been able to get inside. There were several shelves that held a number of items. You have found Magic Book, durability 12 of 12, item class unknown, quality unknown, weight 0.5 kilograms, traits unknown. You have found Magic Book, durability 14 of 14, item class unknown, quality unknown, weight 0.5 kilograms, traits unknown. You have found Magic Book, durability 20 of 20, item class unknown, quality unknown, weight 0.4 kilograms, traits unknown. You have found Small Chest, durability 168 of 204, item class common, quality above average, weight 3.4 kilograms. You have found Magic Bottle, durability 49 of 55, item class unknown, quality unknown, weight 0.03 kilograms, traits unknown. You have found Pouch, durability 6 of 7, item class common, quality average, weight 0.2 kilograms. You have found Magic Blueprint, durability 4 of 20, item class unknown, quality unknown, weight 0.1 kilograms. You have found Resplendent Soulstone, durability 45 of 45, item class rare, soul level resplendent, status filled, weight 0.4 kilograms. You have found Special Soulstone, durability 35 of 35, item class scarce, soul level special, status filled, weight 0.3 kilograms. You have found Special Soulstone, durability 35 of 35, item class scarce, soul level special, status filled, weight 0.3 kilograms. You have found Brilliant Soulstone, durability 35 of 35, item class unusual, soul level brilliant, status filled, weight 0.3 kilograms. Richter sent out a mental call to Futin. He would probably need his help to identify these items. Sure enough, looking at the books, blueprint, and bottle revealed nothing more. The soul stones all were worth hundreds of gold, though. One of them was even rare. The prompt didn't say what type of monster each soul had come from, but for his purposes, it didn't really matter. While he was waiting for the remnant to appear, he opened the pouch. A smile found its way onto his face. The heavy pouch was filled to the brim with finger-length gold bars. They were the first he had seen since he had bartered with Hafiz, and each was worth 100 gold. A quick count showed there were 21 bars in the pouch. That equaled 2,100 gold coins. He had just gotten 200 grand richer. He dumped the gold bars into his bag before anyone could really see what he had found. He didn't think his men would attack him, but no reason to wave meat in front of the bear, as his mother used to say. He scanned the breadloaf-sized chest for the telltale red of traps. Nothing concerning appeared, so he decided to open it. Richter quickly closed it again and hid it in his bag along with the pouch. The chest was full of multicolored jewels. He would have to count them later, but as far as he was concerned, the same meat-waving rule applied. Richter stared at the rest of the treasure while he waited for Futin to appear. The gold and gems alone were amazing, but the soul stones could potentially be invaluable. The highest level stone he had had before was special. That had come from slaying the crypt mistress. He had never seen a resplendent stone before. It was noticeably larger than the special stone. He couldn't wait to see what Crom could make out of it. The stones went into his bag as well. Futon floated up. Richter indicated the magic items still in the small vault with a motion of his head. Futon flared white, and Richter could see what the rest of his haul was. You have found Book of Weak Lightning Bolt, durability 12 of 12, item class common, quality above average, weight 0.5 kilograms, spell details, air magic level 12, traits, fire a bolt of lightning from your hand causing 12 to 15 damage, chance to stun your target for 1 to 2 seconds. You have found Book of Weak Explosive Lightning Ball, durability 14 of 14, item class uncommon, quality well-crafted, weight 0.5 kilograms, spell details, air magic level 19, traits, shoot a weak ball of lightning forward. It explodes on contact and will strike everyone within 5 feet, causing 13 to 18 damage. Chance to stun your enemy for 5 seconds. Requirements, must have air magic skill level 19. You have found Book of Greater Air Containment. Durability 20 of 20. Item class, unusual. Quality, superb. Weight, 0.4 kilograms. Spell details. Air magic, level 33. Traits. Create a containment field for a strong air creature. While the spell lasts, the creature must do as you will it to. If the spell fades or the creature leaves the containment circle, you will lose all control over the creature. Requirements. Must have air magic skill, level 33. You have found Containment Bottle, durability 49 of 55, item class unusual, quality superb, weight 0.03 kilograms, traits, this bottle contains a great wind demon. You have found Blueprint of Mana Storage, durability 4 of 20, item class uncommon, quality well-crafted, weight 0.1 kilograms, traits. This building will let you store mana to be used at a later date. The capacity of the mana storage is 1,000 mana. You must be within 1 mile of your mana storage to access the mana. Requirements. Must have construction skill level 56. As soon as he read the last item description, another prompt appeared. Know this, as master of a place of power, if you build the mana storage within your domain, you may access the stored mana within 1 mile of the boundaries of your domain. In Richter's mind, he just heard, you can hate me now, but I won't stop now. You can hate me now. He laughed aloud. This was amazing! He finally had lightning magic! Richter put the books that he couldn't access yet in his bag, but then wasted no time reading the Book of Weak Lightning Bolt. He opened the tome, and the knowledge flowed into his mind and soul. The pages started turning faster and faster until their passage was a breeze on his face. Before he knew it, the back cover of the book slammed shut and it crumbled to dust. Richter's eyes widened. He knew. Congratulations! You have learned the spell Weak Lightning Bolt. Cast a lightning bolt from your hand, causing 12 to 15 damage. Chance to stun your target for 1 to 2 seconds. This is a spell of air, level 12. Cost 31 mana. Duration, instant. Range, 20 yards. Cast time, 1 second. Cooldown, 2 minutes. Richter didn't think for a moment to keep this bounty to himself. He checked Scion's status page and saw that his companion had advanced his air magic skill to level 12. He took 2 steps over to Scion and placed one hand on the sprite's head and the other on his companion's heart. Scion's eyes widened. His breath sucked in. A second later, the sprite smiled. Scion half raised his arm and slowly clenched his fingers into a fist as if he could feel the new power coursing through him. Richter smiled back. He knew exactly how his friend felt. Richter carefully placed the containment bottle with the wind demon into his bag. Somehow he didn't think that breaking the vessel would be a good idea. The durability was much less than its maximum. Richter didn't know if that was because it had held the demon for such a long time or not, but either way, he felt much better once it was within the spatial folds of his bag. The blueprint of the mana storage was also fascinating. He would basically be able to double the amount of mana he could wield if the village were attacked. Richter planned to discuss what was needed with Roswan as soon as possible. He examined the small vault thoroughly one more time, but unfortunately didn't find anything else. Richter was more than satisfied with the contents, but something was nagging at him. While these items would be very useful to him and his fledgling village, would they really have been enough to warrant a protector like the Dark Aberration? There was also the fact that this was a second vault built in a hidden cavern. A great deal of trouble had apparently been gone to in order to make the rune as well. It was enough to make him suspicious. Richter mulled it over. The resplendent soul stone was arguably worth a great deal, as were the other items, but they had just been pushed into the vault together. None had been given a place of prominence over the others. He knew he might be looking for something that didn't exist, but he had to try. He examined the walls, roof, and floor of the Titan steel cubby. He even examined the door, but still saw nothing. His last effort was to remove the shelves. If that failed, he was just going to close the vault and be done with it. But when he removed the first shelf, he saw the smallest glimmer of blue. A spot the size of the head of a pin gleamed azure at the back of the safe. He quickly removed the other shelf and saw another pinpoint dot of blue. He examined both and didn't see suspicious red, so he just took two lockpicks from his bag and inserted both into the holes. After pushing each in for an inch, he felt a click. The bottom of the safe popped open like a cigar box. Richter was sure that there hadn't been a seam there, but now a hidden compartment could clearly be seen. Richter reached to lift the lid higher, but then paused. The men were all looking expectantly to see what their lord had found. Richter wasn't sure what was in there, but he was sure it was important. That meant he didn't necessarily want anyone else to know.
Captain Sarad.
Yes, my lord.
The man jerked to attention at hearing the slight snap in Richter's voice. Organize all of the men to start taking the pieces of the aberration down to the area where the hunters clean their kills. It is the best we can do for now. Instruct all of the men to drain as much blood as they can and collect it in closed vessels. Commandeer anything you need, then leave all of the flesh and tentacles on large rocks to dry. I will send our alchemist over to examine it later. These men are to be given the night off. They have done enough today. The men cheered at hearing they would have a break after their dirty day. More than one had started looking sad at hearing they had to deal with the creature's smelly remains again. The idea that they would be able to join the feast, though, made it all worthwhile. Richter held up a finger.
Make sure you bathe thoroughly before you eat, though. Ingesting even a drop of this evil creature's blood could make pieces of you drop off.
The men paled, and one asked,
Could that really happen, my lord?
Richter forced a grave expression on his face, though he was chuckling internally. From teats to taint, you might lose something.
Wash well.
Tarad, after you see them off, come back to show me the other room that has the gear. The men all snapped a salute, and Calder and Tarad moved them out. Once they were all out of the cavern, Richter finally let a smile cross his face. He had no idea of what would happen if they got any of the flesh or blood in their mouths. Maybe nothing, but either way, it would be gross. Hygiene standards were not really a priority in the land, as far as Richter had observed, so he resolved to help correct that where he could. If he was able to get a laugh out of it at the same time, well, that was a win-win.
Should I leave too? Sion asked. Do you have a task to keep me busy while you open that as well?
Richter laughed. Didn't fool you for a second, huh? Sion chuckled back.
I doubt you fooled the captain or sergeant either, but I imagine they are used to taking orders.
Well, the answer is no, my friend. I have no secrets from you. A thought did occur to Richter, though. He turned his head and said, Futin, go put mist lights in the parts of the caverns that are still dark.
Yes, my lord,
was the monotone reply. The remnant glided out of the cavern. The two companions waited for a moment before Sion spoke again.
What was that about? Now you don't trust your little floating light?
Richter thought for a second before replying in sprite speak. Let's just say I'm learning caution. Futin is a remnant of an old mage, at least that's what he told me. I have just learned that an old master sacrificed hundreds, if not thousands, of sentient beings to create that thing that I killed. How do I know that he didn't serve that master?
How do I know he wasn't that master?
You're getting a little paranoid, aren't you? Futin has been nothing but helpful as far as I can see,
Sion said.
I trust myself and those who are me.
You and I are in this together, so I trust you. Anyone else is on the outside until proven otherwise. That's how things will be from now on, okay?
Sion looked him in the eye and said,
okay.
Richter nodded and then turned back to the hidden compartment. He lifted the lid and looked inside. It seemed like his precautions had all been for nothing.
You have found map fragment, durability 7 of 23, item class artifact, quality superb, weight 0.1 kilograms.
There was nothing else on the prompt.
The fragment was about the size of a piece of printing paper but with ragged edges. It was written on skin that was light red. The letters were inked in a red that was so dark it was almost black. It showed a series of mountains and what he thought was a desert. There was also a large forest or maybe a jungle on the other side of the mountains. Words were written across the top of the fragment, but to Richter's surprise, he couldn't read them.
None of that mattered, though.
He had found his first artifact. He had no idea what this map led to, but he knew that it must be important.
Richter was immensely glad that he had asked everyone except for Sion to leave.
He knew with almost absolute certainty that the entire point of all the defenses was this scrap of parchment. It was probably conducive to his long-term health that no one else knew he had it.
What do you think?
He asked Sion, showing him what was inside.
I don't know, the sprite replied. But I do know I don't want to touch that thing. Just looking at it makes my skin crawl.
Richter moved the fragment away from his companion. The only time Sion had acted like that before was when he had seen the staff that had housed the pixie chrysalis. That had been because the staff was an utter perversion of good. Basically, it was an item of negative alignment, and it had reacted badly with the sprite because he was positive alignment. Richter had no idea what he was holding, but he was pretty certain it was bad juju. He couldn't just leave it there, though, so he put it in his bag.
Don't talk to anyone, even your mother, about this, okay? If an old master went to these lengths to keep this hidden, an aberration guard dog, a Titan steel safe, and a hidden compartment, it might be safer if we are the only ones who know this thing even exists.
Sion nodded. I'm with you, brother. It stays between us.
Good. I'm glad you're here. Let's do what we initially came to do.
The two companions walked back to the front of the cavern system, to the room where he had initially been attacked. Futin had already left a mist light on the roof of the cave they were standing in, and Tirad was waiting by the hole that led back to the waterfall. Richter didn't want to plant the focus crystal near the room that had the rune. He had no idea about the growth pattern that the garden would take, and if it grew near the rune, the result might be unpredictable. Planting it here should buy him some time. Richter walked up to a flat section of wall and reached into his bag. When he withdrew his hand, it was holding a pulsing crystal. The eggplant-sized shard shed light on the wall in a soft, white radiance. This was the third time Richter had laid eyes on it, and while the size and shape were the same, the pulse was coming slower than before. It would have actually been more appropriate to call the light a flicker now rather than a pulse. When he had harvested it from the chest of the Crystal Guardian, the prompt had said that the focus crystal was a living thing, and that he only had 1 week to plant it again. Between running from the kobolds, recovering from his injuries, and traveling back to the Mist Village, 6 days had passed. Richter could only guess that the fading of the crystal's light meant that it was near the end of its life. He knew there was no more time to waste. Richter placed the focus crystal on the wall, and a prompt appeared. Do you wish to plant the focus crystal in this location, yes or no? Richter selected yes, and the crystal floated from his hand. It hovered in the air for a moment, then slammed against the wall like a powerful magnet attracted to metal. The light began to flicker again, and it looked to Richter like the glow inside of the crystal was straining to grow brighter, but was failing. Another prompt appeared. The life force of the focus crystal is faint. You have planted it in time, but it will take a long period of time before the garden begins to bear more crystal. If you wish to restore its power faster, you may sacrifice a soul stone. The level of the soul will be proportional to the amount of healing performed.
Richter's forehead wrinkled in irritation. Now he had to give a soul stone? Why did he always have to give so much more? He sighed. More money, more problems.
At least he had more in his pockets than lint. He accessed his inventory to see what soul stones he had available. After gazing at them for a while, he chose to use a special level stone. He had just gotten two of them, so it wasn't really like he would feel the lack.
He held the stone up to the focus crystal. The internal light of the soul stone faded, and the crystal's light grew from a flicker to a strong and bright pulse.
A large amount of crystal grew over the focus crystal and then continued to flow over the surrounding wall. The pulses came faster, and each beat of the crystal's luminous heart spread more crystal over the wall.
Richter and Sion smiled at one another, seeing how much of the precious substance was growing in just a few seconds. And it kept growing.
Is this supposed to stop soon? Richter asked.
The crystal had grown to the edges of the wall and was now starting to cover the floor.
Why are you asking me? Sion responded. What did you do with that soul stone?
They both took a step back as the crystal spread across the ground.
The focus crystal was weak. I got a prompt that said it needed more juice.
What type of stone did you give it? What the fuck?
Sion and Richter ducked their heads in alarm. A tiny piece of crystal had shot across the room. The clear spike had grown near the focus crystal like many others, but without warning had sped away from its perch and embedded in a nearby wall.
Richter and Sion whipped their heads over to look at the impact site. A small crater now adorned the wall behind them. As they watched, more crystals started growing from the impact site.
Is that going to happen every time? Richter said loudly.
He hadn't thought he'd be dodging clear bullets when he planted the focus crystal.
Why do you keep asking me stupid questions, Gyoti? I don't know, but I think we should get out of here. I still want to know what level stone you used.
The crystal had reached another wall and was growing up it.
Maybe we should leave, my lord,
Tirad said nervously. Richter and Sion backed further from the wall. The white light from the crystal was almost constant now. He looked over at the hole that led outside. The growing crystals were only a few feet from the hole.
You might be right, Tirad. I think it's time for a strategic retreat! Gah!
Alma flew into the air with a squawk and flew down the hole. Another bullet-like crystal shard had shot through the air, and then through the meat of Richter's shoulder before burying itself into the wall behind him. It happened so fast that he didn't even feel the pain initially, just a bit of pressure.
The universe fixed that a second later.
Sharp, horrible pain shot through his body, and his initial gah transformed into,
ah, fuck! Let's go!
First Richter, then Sion, and last Tirad hopped into the tunnel. They scurried down the narrow space until they could stand up straight. More pings and crunches came from behind them. Richter looked behind him and saw some crystals starting to grow down the narrow passage. They jogged until they were halfway to the waterfall, then stopped and turned around. The crystal didn't follow them down into the cave they were standing in, so they just listened as the pings grew in frequency for another few minutes. Richter cast weak, slow heal on himself and waited for the pain in his shoulder to abate. After about 5 minutes, the noises were coming much slower in frequency. After another 2 or 3 minutes, the cave was quiet again. The three men had remained silent while they listened to the explosive growth of the crystal garden in the caverns above them. When the noises stopped, Sion slowly turned and stood in front of Richter.
What did you do?
Richter was still breathing slightly heavily and was examining the newly healed wound in his shoulder.
Like I said, the focus crystal was close to death, so I used a soul stone.
How strong of a soul stone, my lord?
Tirad asked.
I have seen a crystal garden before. My squad was tasked with protecting one at a duke's estate once. I saw one of the enchanters use a soul stone to make the garden grow faster, but it only grew at about an inch a minute. It was nothing like what we just saw.
I used a special level soul, he said.
A special? Sion asked incredulously.
Yeah, what's the problem?
Richter asked, irritated. His bicep was still throbbing with ghost pain.
The problem, Gyoti, is that special-level stones hold the souls of low-level demons and angels. What did you think was going to happen when you used the spirit of that power? These aren't toys!
I know that, Richter snapped. He seethed for a moment, goaded by the fading pain in his shoulder, but then forced himself to be calm. His friend was right. He was just irritated because of his injury. If he was being honest, he was embarrassed, too. He hadn't really thought about something bad happening when he had used the Soul Stone. Richter took a long, slow breath. After he audibly exhaled, he said,
"You're right, man. I'm sorry. I should have considered the possible consequences of using such a strong soul."
Sion glared for a moment longer, but then a smile graced his face and he chuckled.
"Well, it does seem like we won't have any shortage of crystal. I just don't want to be turned into a statue. Okay?"
"Deal," Richter said sheepishly. He started thinking about their new windfall.
"I'll have to send some people up here to start harvesting this tomorrow. Even more than we need the crystal, we need to be able to get to that rune. I want to know more about it.
Don't forget about the cavern at the back with all of the items and weapons, my lord. Some of it could be quite valuable."
Richter nodded.
"That's a good point."
He turned his head to get Futin to remind him of that later, and only then realized that the remnant wasn't with him. In fact, the last time that Richter had seen him was when he sent him out of the room with the rune. That meant Futin was still...
Richter turned his gaze to the narrow tunnel.
"There may be another reason for us to clear away some crystal, guys."
As Richter related that Futin had been trapped, Sion slapped his hand onto his forehead and shook his head slightly. Tarad stood stoically, unwilling to criticize his lord, even if he had committed a totally boneheaded move. As Richter spoke, the crystal garden continued to grow, slower each moment, but still fast enough to observe. The crystals grew new shards, ready for harvest, and one particular bloom was unlike the others. In a garden of iridescent shards, one particular outcropping was the dark red of blood.
Chapter 8, Day 102, Kuralt 21, 15,368 EBG. Richter jogged back over to the tunnel and saw that crystal was blocking the entrance to the caverns. It wasn't a solid plug of crystal. Instead, iridescent shards crisscrossed the narrow shaft. No one was getting by until they were harvested. Richter stood back and cast a spell. Mist rose from the ground and leaked from cracks in the walls. It pooled at his feet, and then it rose into a humanoid figure. Soon, a faceless gray worker was standing before him, waiting for instructions. "Clear the way up to the passage at the end of this tunnel. Try to break the pieces of crystal off in large chunks, and then put them in a pile here on the floor. Once you have cleared a way through the tunnel, stop harvesting crystal." He didn't want to risk that the poor intelligence of the mist worker couldn't differentiate the focus crystal from plain crystal. That done, Richter and his companions turned to leave. Richter ordered a guard to be stationed outside at all times. The lake was to be off limits to everyone except Sion, the guards, Randolphus, and himself, of course. Tarad told him it would be done, and they walked to the cave entrance. The guards had taken the pieces of the dark aberration out of the cave, but smears of black blood could still be seen on the ground. Richter led the way out of the cavern. They all got soaked to the skin again as they passed through the waterfall, but that wasn't a problem for Richter and Sion, who were happy to wash off the aberration's black blood. Soon they were walking through the meadow. Before they had gone too far, Tarad spoke up. There was a tone of wonder in his voice.
"I just gained a level, my lord. I received 15,000 experience for finishing a quest called..."
Tarad's eyes lost focus for a second.
"Crystal Garden 2, and another 20,000 for finishing Who Will You Be 1?
The man started to smile.
"I don't care what Sion said. This was worth almost being encased in crystal."
Richter laughed. It was good to see Tarad being excited about something. It was easy to forget that a month ago the captain had watched his friend die in front of him. Not to mention being racked with guilt over what had happened to Isabella. Richter was happy to see that the man's overall mood was improving. As he looked at Tirad, he really examined the captain for the first time in a long time. Tirad's musculature had increased. Of that, there was no doubt. He also moved with greater ease, and his features appeared a bit more defined. It wasn't a marked difference, but it was still there. Richter wondered just how many points his companion had invested in charisma. The captain was also a man in his mid-40s. He had always seemed healthy and in shape, but now there was a vitality in his visage that Richter didn't remember seeing when they first met. Richter continued his assessment of his friend, and another thought occurred to him. Tirad hadn't exactly been present for either the fight with the aberration or the planting of the garden. Did his companions get experience for every quest he completed? A quick question to Tirad earned Richter a confused, "Yes, of course, my lord. Were you not aware? With this latest experience, I'm now level 14, almost 15. Richter's eyes bulged slightly. The last time he had checked Tirad's status, the man had only been level 7. He quickly accessed his companion's page. While he watched, Tirad's numbers shifted as the man distributed his new points. Tirad had doubled his level. According to the captain, it was mostly because of Richter's quests and his shield affinity. "Did your shield skill always have such a high affinity?" Richter asked. Tirad smiled and nodded in understanding.
"It happened when the quickening was planted. When I hold a shield now, things just seem to come naturally."
Richter turned to Sion. "What about you? Did you get an XP bump? Have you gotten the experience whenever I finished a quest? And did any of your affinities increase?" The sprite's head bobbed back and forth noncommittally.
"I haven't had an increase in any of my affinities. As far as the experience, though, I thought you knew. I have been benefiting from quests you finished since we became companions."
Sion's eyes unfocused, and then a broad grin split the sprite's face.
"And I did again! I am level 15 now!"
Shaking his head at his own lack of attention, Richter checked Sion's page as well. So, being his companion let them power level through his quests, Richter reasoned. It was a bit of a letdown that his friend's affinities hadn't increased. It was entirely possible that an affinity had increased in a skill the sprite hadn't discovered yet, though. Putting it out of his mind, Richter began to wonder if a companion might also be a loophole for the 5-person party limit. A group larger than 5 had the consequence of decreasing any experience gained from fighting or questing. If Sion and Tirad weren't counted, though, that could bring them up to 7. It had the potential to drastically increase the power of any strike group he was in without slowing down any of their growth. He could think of one rock giant that he wouldn't mind making his bitch.
"This might mean that we can increase party size when we hunt together. I know we had a party of 5 people planned, but let's add 2 more. If we don't get an experience reduction when we make a kill, then we will have proved that this works. I just wish this whole companion thing came with an instruction manual."
Tirad nodded.
"I will take care of it, my lord. Was there anyone in particular that you had in mind?"
Richter thought about it as they walked. Who did he need to level? The first person that came to mind was Crom. Who knew what useful skills the dwarf might gain if he became a professed smith? It would be great to have a powerful healer in the group, but Sumiko was too old and too valuable to risk on a hunt. It could be nice having another archer along, though.
"Have Crom come, and ask if Yulindi will come along."
Tirad nodded.
"How long to the feast?" Richter asked.
He silently cursed not having Futin around. How else was he supposed to tell time? He sent a mental call for the remnant. As soon as the mistworker finished getting through the crystal covering the entrance to the caverns, he wanted the remnant by his side.
"I don't believe we have much time, my lord. The instruction was for everything to be ready an hour before sundown."
The captain looked at the sun.
"I would gauge we have less than an hour."
Richter nodded. That was what he had thought as well. There wasn't time to hunt before sundown, and he didn't really want to be out with all the monsters when night fell. "When we get back down to the village, send someone to tell Calder and Bayan that we will leave to hunt at first light. I don't care what everyone does tonight, but be ready at the gate when the sun rises." They were at the edge of the slope leading down to the village. Richter could see everyone bustling around. He heard laughter and happy shouts as everyone prepared for the feast. He saw at least 10 casks of ale being set up behind a simple bar that had been cobbled together. It was going to be a wild night. Richter looked back at his companions and smiled. Ah, fuck it. Let's just start the hunt at noon. Sion threw a fist in the air and exclaimed, Grinda! Roughly translated from sprite speak, that meant, Huzzah! The three of them walked down the hill. Tirad peeled off and went to find Calder and the others. Richter and Sion were walking towards all of the hustle and bustle when Richter got a surprise. Futin came floating towards them from the east. He was thoroughly confused, seeing as how the waterfall cave was to the west. How are you here? He asked once the remnant was close. Futin's monotone voice replied, You summoned me, my lord. I know that! I meant you were trapped in the caves. How did you get out?
I did find it difficult to follow you once you had entombed me, my lord.
Richter was sure he heard just a touch of attitude this time.
When you called for me, however, I used my ability to transport to the Great Seal.
Richter hadn't been aware that Futin's transport ability was so specific. He had just thought the remnant could teleport to a random spot in the village. Okay. Well, sorry about the whole buried alive thing, but now that you're here, let me know when it's an hour to noon tomorrow.
Yes, my lord.
Richter looked at Sion and said, Now come with me. It's time to meet the new villagers. Right after I put some new pants on. I'm tired of flying in the wind. After Richter had donned another set of clothes from his bag, they walked towards the feast area. Richter took the opportunity to deal with his own prompts. The very first brought a wide smile to his face.
You have reached level 26. Through hard work, you have moved forward along your path. As a Chaos Seed, you gain 6 points to distribute to characteristics instead of the usual 4. You also get 25% advancement to the skill of your choice. Crush your enemies. Honor your allies. Live. You have 18 unused characteristic points and 150% of unused skill growth to allocate. Now that you have progressed again, you must allocate your points within the next week or they will randomly be assigned for you.
He resolved to distribute his points later that night. He had 3 levels worth of stat points to distribute and 6 levels worth of percentage points to distribute.
Congratulations, you have reached skill level 29 in enchanting. All enchantments, 1% more effective, and increased chance of enchantments taking hold.
Well, that should help, Richter thought. He wondered if the bump in enchanting was proportional to the level of stone he used. The soul of an angel just had to be worth more than the soul of a frog or a fox. He'd have to ask Glorin about it later. He dismissed the prompt and moved on to the last one in the queue.
You have completed the quest Crystal Garden 2. You have successfully planted the focus crystal. As you have planted it underground, your garden will experience a +10% growth bonus. If you need a boost to crystal growth, expend a soul stone to increase production. Reward, a crystal garden. Reward, 18,750 experience points. Bonus reward. Planting the focus crystal on a place of power was above and beyond the requirements of the quest. You have earned a bonus. 1 month's worth of instant crystal growth per power available.
Abrams and Whedon! Richter shook his head after reading the last prompt. No wonder things had gone crazy. If he was reading the prompt right, 4 months of growth had happened almost all at once. When you factored in the 10% boost from being underground, and the 30% boost from his life ability, and then compounded it all with the high-level soul stone he had used, no wonder everything had gone apeshit all at once. It meant there had been between 5 and 7 months of boosted growth in just a few minutes. A smile crossed Richter's face. It also meant it wasn't all his fault. He knew just who he wanted to share that information with. Richter tapped Sion on the shoulder and said, Hey, dickhead, let me tell you about me. The two of them were arguing loudly within 30 seconds.
Chapter 9, Day 102, Keralt 21, 15,368 EBG.
Alma flew up to the bickering friends.
Too loud! Stop making noises!
We aren't making noises, he replied to her aloud. We are having an intelligent debate.
What are you talking about? Sion said. I know I'm being intelligent. In you, though, intelligence might be a bit of a stretch.
Shut up! I'm talking to Alma. She said we were making too much noise.
Your familiar is talking about me?
Since when can she even talk?
Richter chuckled. She's had a few upgrades.
Little man stopped talking, she thought.
There was little doubt as to who she was talking about, seeing as how she had landed on Richter's shoulders and her sinuous neck was pointing straight at Sion.
Is she saying something else?
Sion asked, suspicious. Richter weighed out the various permutations of how this might go down if he relayed Alma's last message. Many of the options were potentially quite humorous from his perspective, but the responsible part of him decided to just keep the peace and not share what Alma had said. Then the asshole part of him decided to say, fuck it. She said, little man stopped talking.
Little, Sion bristled. Listen here, you flying rat. I'll shove my arrow up your banished gods!
Without even leaving her perch on Richter's shoulders, a yellow glow had started to surround the dragonling. A second later, a bolt of lightning shot from her body into the ground at Sion's feet. It didn't strike the sprite, but it did impact with a loud sizzle, and both of the companions suffered the effects of the electricity bleeding through the ground so close to where they were walking. To Richter, it was only a mild irritant, but Sion immediately howled and started hopping from foot to foot. Richter actually found it kind of funny to see the sprite slapping his legs, shouting about pins and needles. He chuckled slightly, but hid it in a cough when Sion turned an angry glare his way.
Is something funny? The sprite asked.
Of course not, Richter protested innocently. You know I felt that too.
That would mean something to me if I didn't know you had a 50% resistance to air magic. Aren't you going to admonish her?
Sion had stopped hopping, but was still massaging both calves. Oh, yes, of course. He turned his head to look at Alma. You mustn't use magic on our friends, Alma.
Yes, master. I'm sorry.
She didn't sound very sorry to Richter, but he decided not to push it.
Sion won't speak more?
She asked with a sweet mental tone. Her head was pointing directly at the sprite again.
What's she saying now? Sion asked warily, having caught the direction of her attention.
Well, she asked if you had anything else to say, Richter said. Sion looked from him to Alma, whose neck was still fully extended.
No. I think she understood my point.
The dragonling's neck relaxed, and she settled down across her master's shoulders. You're a bad bitch, baby. She had made Sion back down, and Richter had seen the sprite go head-to-head with demons. Also, seeing her so casually cast weak lightning bolt made him excited for future battles.
This is true, master,
she thought with a satisfied tone. Richter chuckled again, and he and Sion just kept walking. It didn't take too much longer to arrive at the feast area. As Richter had instructed, Roswan and the other builders had made a platform at one end. Long picnic tables had been set up, and as he watched, Richter saw guards and other villagers leading people to the tables. It seemed like slow going leading the new villagers into place because of their lack of immunity, but most of the tables were already filled, so he didn't think it would take too much longer. They walked back to the stage. Randolphus was waiting.
Greetings, my lord. The food has been prepared, and almost all of the new villagers have been seated. If you will give me your attention for just a few moments, there are a few small pieces of business to discuss before we begin.
Alma flew off. Richter looked after her, thinking, traitor. Sion also made good his escape, saying he planned to go get an ale. Richter was alone and defenseless against his chamberlain's efficient bureaucracy. He exhaled a long-suffering sigh and then gave Randolphus his almost undivided attention. After some time had passed, a guard came up and told them that Captain Tirad said that everyone was seated. Richter thanked him for the information. The guard started to move off, but then Richter said, "Stop." He recognized the man. "Is that you, Cedrin?" The guard turned back and stood at attention.
"Yes, my lord."
Richter reached out and extended his hand. The guard looked at him for a moment, and then returned the clasp.
I still think often of Petal. I have not forgotten your little girl. I think of her every day as well, my lord.
I'm surprised that you joined the guard, Cedrin. Honestly, I thought you would be leaving the village once your year was done.
Cedrin's jaw quivered with emotion before he spoke again.
I was going to do just that. Then I asked myself what I was going back to. All that was waiting for me was a country that spurned both my daughter and me. She was half-elvish. I don't think you knew that.
Richter was moved by the man's emotion. Some time had passed since the bugbear attack that had left 21 of his people dead. He had been racked with guilt and shame at letting his people down. It had been his own arrogance, after all, that had let the bugbears reach the village. Seeing how the pain was still fresh for Cedrin brought his own feelings flooding back.
I did not know that, he said simply. She was, Cedrin said. Her mother was beautiful, but died in childbirth. I tried to do my best, but the new king's unjust laws and prejudice made it impossible for me to even earn enough food to feed and clothe her. I was spurned by my old so-called friends. Your offer to come here to a new life was a blessing. She and I were so happy.
His jaw firmed. Looking him in the eye, Richter could clearly see the ferocity in the man's gaze. His grip on Richter's wrist tightened, not to harm his lord, but out of anger and passion.
When my daughter died, the joy I felt turned to ashes in my mouth.
Richter nodded. He knew people were waiting, but this man who had lost so much deserved his time and respect. He would not rush Cedrin. He would wait for the man to say his piece. Cedrin kept his eyes locked onto Richter's own.
I will not lie. Initially, I blamed you for my daughter's death. I harbored anger and hatred towards you, my lord. I can understand if you cannot trust me. I will leave both your service and the village if you command it.
Do you still blame me? Richter asked with quiet intensity. He was acutely aware that he was in close proximity to a man who had just admitted to hating him. His muscles were tense, but he was ready to respond however this should turn out.
He waited for Cedrin's reply.
The guard's eyes didn't waver. After a few moments, he said,
No. When you unveiled the monument to the fallen, I saw in your eyes that you felt the pain of her loss. My anger towards you faded. Afterwards, I felt only emptiness. I almost ended my own life to rejoin her, but then I found something to live for.
Revenge. Richter heard a bit of fanaticism in Cedrin's voice as he continued.
I plan to send as many of the bugbears as I can find to the deepest hell that will take them.
Richter used Analyze and saw that Cedrin was only level 4.
You will have to be much stronger if you plan to do that.
Then I will get stronger, my lord. This I vow, or I will die trying.
Will you pledge your life to me to accomplish this?
Richter asked.
For the deaths of my petals killers, I will give you my life in return,
Cedrin said, nodding.
Richter nodded back. The man was weak right now, but maybe only in body.
Cedrin's will was a foundation he could build upon.
When I call for allegiance tonight, step forward.
The guard nodded and clapped a fist to his heart in salute. He then turned away to leave. Before he had gone far, Richter spoke up again.
Find your captain, and tell him that you are to join us tomorrow for the hunt.
Cedrin saluted again, and then walked away. The exchange had reminded him of what was at stake. He had to protect his people. He had to get stronger. His enemies were only growing more numerous, and his allies were too few. These were the facts that he needed to impart to his people, both new and old. Randolphus had stood by during the exchange, silently observing. When Richter turned towards him, the Chamberlain saw his liege's intensity. He clapped a hand to his heart and bowed slightly.
Your people are waiting, my lord.
Richter nodded and walked up the steps of the platform. Once at the top, he stood and looked out over his people. Everyone was here except for the guards standing upon the village walls. When he ascended the wooden dais, hundreds of heads turned to see him. At half of the tables, hundreds more simply looked around, confused. The new villagers could hear the commotion around them, but their vision didn't extend more than 5 to 10 feet through the mist. He decided to fix that. His arms rose, and his fingers spread wide.
He accessed the spell Confusing Mist on his village interface and willed the mists to roll back. Starting at the Great Seal, the enchantment cleared the mists like a drop of soap would clear grease. Within seconds, the air was clear to the village walls, and a second later, it had cleared to the edges of the farm and pasture land. The new villagers caught their first sight of their new lord, standing above them, arms raised, commanding the very air. The old villagers cheered at the sight. "Welcome! Half of you know me and have been bonded to this village by sweat and blood. You have fought and sacrificed for a better life. I am honored to be your lord. I am honored to be one of you. I am honored to stand by your side." The people cheered at his words. They all remembered how he had not shied from a fight when the bugbears had attacked. They all remembered how he had shared his power by awakening the air magic in many of them. Richter continued, "Welcome! Many of you are new and have come to this village hoping for a new life. Look to those who have been here before you. Some have lost loved ones. Some have suffered injury, but they still stand tall. Despite any losses, this village grows in strength and wealth. Here you can learn to be your best self. Here you can make a life for yourself independent of your race, but instead dependent on your character." More cheers greeted his pronouncement, and this time, many of the new villagers cheered as well. Richter waited for the noise to die down before continuing. "A third time I bid you welcome. I will tell you the same words that I spoke to Captain Tirad when I asked him to join me. I make no promises for what the future will hold, but I promise that if you stand by me, then we will meet whatever does come together." One of the villagers, a new air mage that Richter recognized, stood and shouted, "A cheer for Lord Richter! A cheer for our liege!" A resounding shout broke out as hundreds of voices rose in solidarity. Again, Richter waited for the tumult to die down. "This feast is a celebration of life, of the life that we have begun to make for ourselves here, for the lives that we have protected, for the lives that we have lost, and for the new lives that are here to join us on this journey. So eat, drink, celebrate this bounty that many of you have worked so hard for. Let us welcome our new brothers and sisters with open arms. Again, I say welcome. Welcome to the Mist Village." Cheers broke out all over. This time he did not wave to settle them down. Instead, he pointed at one of the villagers who held a musical instrument, and the man began to play. Other musicians took his cue and joined in. Soon a joyous melody was floating through the feast, and many voices rose to sing counterpoint to the well-known song. "The sun is on the green, the scent of grass is in the air. My love is on my mind is on her flowing hair. I live my days in glory so that the bards sing of my fame. But I live my nights in bed with her, so she calls out my name." Laughter spread around as more and more people joined in. Richter didn't stay on the platform any longer. He wanted to join his people. When he got to the bottom, though, he was shanghaied by Randolphus and led through the tables. They were all perpendicular to the podium, but there was one at the end that was parallel and sat on a raised stage. When Richter had seen it from the podium, he had assumed that it was there for serving, but now that they were closer, he saw a bench along one side and understood its purpose. Randolphus had made a high table for him to look out over his people. "I was planning to sit with the people, walk around and get to know them," he said. "You may, of course, do anything that you wish, my lord. I believe that spending personal time with the villagers is a wonderful idea. I would also say, however, that if you wish to lead and command these people, they must be accustomed to you being presented as a leader. As I said, however, the choice is, of course, yours to make." Richter gave his chamberlain the side eye, but then laughed and kept walking to the table. He knew that he had just been manipulated. It wasn't like he could really refuse to sit at the table now without looking like a stubborn fool. He also knew that Randolphus had done it only with the best of intentions, and that the man was also probably right. The table sat on a platform 4 feet off of the ground so that Richter could have an easy view of everyone, and they could all have an easy view of him. The sounds of song still surrounded him as he walked up the 3 steps and stood in front of the table, looking out at the gathering. After his people saw him, those singing gradually ceased, but those with instruments still played, just at a lower volume. Everyone was looking to Richter, and he realized they wanted some formal start to the beginning of the meal. He also realized Randolphus was right, that the people would naturally look to him for their cues. Not one to pass up an opportunity for showmanship, he extended his hand once again and cast Mist Light. The ball of glow.